original moments. There was a time from the early to late 70s when I studied with a Korean Zen master named Sung San. His name translates literally as High Mountain, the name of the mountain in China where the sixth Zen patriarch, Huineng, is said to have attained enlightenment. We called him Sansanim, which I recently found out means honored Zen teacher. He had come over from Korea and somehow wound up in Providence, Rhode Island. I heard about him from a student of mine at Brandeis and went down to Providence one day to check him out. Sansanim would often begin a public talk by taking the Zen stick he usually had within reach, fashioned from a gnarled and twisted, highly polished burl of demented tree branch, which he sometimes leaned his chin on as he peered out at the audience, and holding it up in the air horizontally above his head, bellow, "Do you see this?" Long silence, puzzled looks. Then he would take it and bang it straight down on the floor or on a table in front of him. It would make a loud thwack. "Do you hear this?" Long silence, more puzzled looks. Then he would begin his talk. Often he didn't explain what that opening gambit was all about, but the message slowly became clear. Meditation is about keeping things simple. Right now, in this moment, do you see? Do you hear? This seeing, this hearing, when unadorned, is the recovery of original mind, free from all concepts, including original mind. And it is already here. It is already ours. Indeed, it is impossible to lose. If you do see the stick, who is seeing? If you do hear the hit, who is hearing? In the initial moment of seeing, there is just the seeing. Before thinking sets in and the mind secretes thoughts like, "I wonder what he means. Of course I see the stick." Or with the hearing of the loud bang, "This is a peculiar way to start a talk. Of course I heard the sound." Do you see? We hardly ever just see. Do you hear? We hardly ever just hear. Thoughts and interpretations and emotions pour in so quickly following any and every experience, and as expectations even before the experience arises, that we can hardly say that we were there at all for the original moment of seeing, the original moment of hearing. If we were, it would be here and not there. Instead, we see our concepts rather than the stick. We hear our concepts rather than the thwack. We evaluate, we judge, we digress, we categorize, we react emotionally, and so quickly that the moment of pure seeing, the moment of pure hearing, is lost. For that moment, at least, you could say that we have lost our minds and have taken leave of our senses. So when Sansanim asked, "Do you see this? Do you hear this?" he was inviting us to wake up from the dream of our self-absorption and all our endless spinning out of stories that distance us from what is actually happening in these moments that add up to what we call our life. No attachments. There's a joke making the rounds that goes like this. Have you heard the one about the Buddhist vacuum cleaner? Are you kidding? What on earth is a Buddhist vacuum cleaner? You know, no attachments. The fact that people get this at all suggests that the core message of Buddhist meditation has found its way into the collective psyche of our culture. From the perspective of the era of my childhood in the 1940s and 50s, this cultural mind enlargement would have been highly improbable, even inconceivable. The culture is catching a certain drift about meditation, and it's hardly limited to highbrow culture. We find it in bubblegum comics, movies, and advertisements on subway walls, magazines, and newspapers. Inner peace is now used to sell just about everything, from spa vacations to new cars to perfume. The Dalai Lama's face peers down from huge billboards courtesy of Apple Computer. I go into my local Staples to buy office supplies, and there is his book, The Art of Happiness, in its own display, in the business section, no less. Something profound has happened over the past 30 years, and the seeds of it are now sprouting all over the place. It could be called the coming of Dharma to the West. If the word Dharma is unfamiliar to you, for now, suffice it to say that it can be thought of as both the formal teachings of the Buddha and also a universal intrinsic lawfulness, describing the way things are and the nature of the mind that perceives and knows. The Buddha once said that the core message of all his teachings, and he taught continually for over 45 years, could be summed up in one sentence. That sentence is, nothing is to be clung to as I, me, or mine. In other words, no attachments, especially to fixed ideas of yourself and who you are. It is important to understand what is meant by clinging, so we don't misinterpret this injunction as a disavowal of all we hold dear, when in fact it's an invitation to come into greater touch and into a direct living contact with everybody and everything we hold dear to our hearts and everything that is most important to our well-being as a whole person, body, mind, soul, and spirit. That includes what is difficult to handle or come to terms with. The stress and the anguish of the human condition itself when it rears up in our lives, as it is apt to do sooner or later in one way or another. It is saying that it is our attachment to the thoughts we have of who we are that may be the impediment to living life fully and a stubborn obstacle to any realization of who and what we actually are and of what is important and possible. It may be that in clinging to our self-referential ways of seeing and being, to the parts of speech we call the personal pronouns, I, me, and mine, we sustain the unexamined habit of grasping and clinging to what is not fundamental, all the while missing or forgetting what actually is.